Good to see you this morning. Happy Memorial Day. We continue today in our series, The Ten Commandments, the foundation for a nation. We are in Exodus chapter 20. Going to look at verse 7. Oh, and we are going to look at several other scriptures. Perry's in the back prepared with Bibles. If you want one, just raise your hand. He'll come and find you. If I were to tell you this morning, scrolling through my social media, that I had come across your name in my feed, Facebook today, that's pretty funny. I would guess that most of you would stop on a dime, pull out your phone immediately, and you start searching to try to figure out who was using your name and why were they using your name. And all of a sudden, social media would take on an extraordinarily more important priority. You want to know, what has been said about your name? Why? Because we value our name. Names are not just nicknames, sobriquets, rhetorical devices for speech. Names involve significance. The matter behind our name is that it represents a reality, an identity. It represents our reputation, and that has a direct bearing on our everyday life. And if I were to say to you this morning the names, for instance, Bill Gates, you know, you would think money, computers. Well, I mean, today the list of things you might think of is growing. But there was a day when you used Bill Gates' name, and primarily people would think of wealth. Or if I were to ask you, what do you think about the name Serena Williams, you would think tennis. If I were to say Michael Jordan, you know, you would think basketball. You should think GOAT, but many people are blind to the obvious. You know, he would, if you ask Michael Jordan, he would call himself Black Jesus, but, he probably needs to hear the sermon today, so. But names have significance. For example, on the other side of the coin, you know, there is no parent in their right mind that's going to name their kid Hitler, right? You know, well, it's just a word. No, that's not an argument. It's not just a word. It has negative significance tied to it. You're not going to name your child Benedict Arnold, right? You know, well, I just like the way it sounds. No, you don't like the way it sounds. There's something significant to the name. You know, in 2006, there was an article that came out in USA Today, and it said that after reaching its peak in 2005, that the baby name for girls, Katrina, suddenly sank to its lowest rank since 1950. You want to know why? Hurricane Katrina of August 2005. Now, why was that? It's because names have significance. Now, folks, listen. If names matter, if your name on the internet matters to you, if I can recite to you all these names, you can correctly identify the attributes that are attached to the name. If names have significance, brothers and sisters, you've got to imagine how God must feel about his name. The third commandment is recorded for us in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Chapter 20, verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Let me read again. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. The first commandment that we've seen is that you should have no other gods, okay? Then commandment number one is to maintain God's position of uniqueness in your life. Commandment number two, don't create idols. Don't approach me through something you create yourself. And commandment number two is really tied to commandment number three. Commandment number three is to protect the name of God. You say, well, how are they related? Because commandment number two says you can't use anything in life, you can't create anything to connect with God. And the only way that we have to connect with God then is through God's name. And what we immediately find clear is that God is concerned about his name just as you would be concerned about your name or anybody you know would be concerned about their name. God is supremely concerned about his name. We're going to see that this morning. And we're going to see it because there is no name greater than his name. And so he wants to protect it. He wants to value it. He wants it to be used with significance. He doesn't want his name to be used as a way to defame him. He doesn't want it to be abused. How does it refer to this? Well, if you look at verse 7, the phrase is used, don't take the name of the Lord in vain, in vain. Now that phrase has to do with using it without purpose, wasteful, empty, frivolous. Don't use my name as though it has no significance or value. Don't even be casual with it. Because this name stands for my identity, my reputation. It represents my essence. And it is the only way that you can connect with me. And yet, sadly, we live in a culture today where God's name has become all but commonplace. I mean, we live in a day where his name has become an exclamation point in conversation. It has been reduced to the simple function of a punctuation mark. God's name today is used and abused. It is regularly used. We use it to make ourselves look good. He wants us to make him look good, and rarely it's used to make him look good. We hear people throw around the phrase, you know, in conversation, I swear to God, people will say. In other words, we use the name to validate ourselves, to vindicate a point that we're making. People use God's name to affirm themselves. They will say at the drop of a hat, oh, so help me God, so help me God, that's true. God is saying, no, don't put my name out there frivolously. Don't attach to it, you know, anything that's unimportant. Because when you throw my name around as though it's insignificant, what you're really saying, you're betraying the fact that you think I'm insignificant. The Bible cautions us in passages, even in the New Testament, in James chapter 5, verse 12, or Matthew 5, 33 through 37, about making an oath in my name. When you say something like, yeah, I can do that, or you know, I'll promise I do it, I swear to God. Then once you bring my name into that conversation, you may think that that word is unimportant, but I don't. You are not to take the name of your God in vain. Okay, we're not talking about the general public here. We're talking about Playa Christian Church, the people in this room. I mean, it's another way of saying, you're not to take the name Playa Christian Church of your God and treat it as meaningless or treat it as though I am not your God. I must always be positioned. You're going to use my name? Then you use my name as your God. And if I am your God, you can only use my name under certain scenarios. You can only use my name with my authority. And so when you use my name to validate your agenda, you're claiming my authority and you're using my name in vain. All of us know that forgery is the unauthorized use of someone's name. It has serious implications. You put their name on a piece of paper they have not agreed to, you can be thrown in jail because it is the unauthorized use of their name. And so it is whenever you say, God wants me to do this, or God has revealed to me he wants me to make this choice in life. Folks, when you say that, listen, you better make sure that it's true that you're associating this thing with God's name, because otherwise it becomes blasphemous. Now, most of the time when we talk about commandment number 3, it is most often used as a prohibition against swearing. That's where we most commonly find it. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 20, in other words. You can also see it in Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, where you swear or you make an oath in the name of God. You know, you watch award shows, you watch entertainers, they get up, and they want to thank God for things that go directly against God's name. People use lewd lyrics, they use profane language, they use vile videos, and they will get up and thank God about that thing as they accept the trophy. And folks, that is the very definition of using God's name in vain. it is to use God's name in association with something that God doesn't approve of. It's blasphemous. God's name is thrown around today in the most offhanded ways, thoughtless ways, ways that are certainly not approved of. And what happens is we offer to God what is called in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, a strange fire. That is, we give to God something that is completely unrecognizable to him. That is, you use the terminology and God says, what's that got to do with me? That's got nothing to do with me, he says. How serious is this issue? How serious is the issue of God's name? Well, verse 7, it says, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. In fact, that's a staggering statement. I will not leave him unpunished. Look, no one here is unconcerned about clearing up the misuse of your name. If your name is misused, someone says, you know, you said something and you didn't say it, you want to clear it up right away. I mean, look, couples will spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees fighting over defamation of their name. Why? Because your name has consequences, and those consequences affect your ability to live. And so you want to protect your reputation. So you're not going to skip over lightly when somebody misuses your name. You want to clear your name because it's you. And you're not going to let anybody else mess up your name. Well, brothers and sisters, look, once you can identify with that as a person, once you get that concept about and how that affects you and the principle, how it's important to you, then folks, you can multiply that feeling a billion times for a perfect God. See, because we will try to clear up our name even when we are wrong. I mean, you see people like that all the time. People who you know are guilty and they are passively trying to convince the world otherwise, right? I remember many years ago, I'd taken a tour of a jail in Cincinnati. I was with a friend who was giving me a tour. He was a law enforcement student officer. And we were walking through. He said, you know, it's funny how no one in here did it. He said, doesn't matter who you ask, no one's guilty. Why? We want to protect our name. God says, my name is misused. And he says, that person who misuses my name shall not be considered harmless. Now we understand, most of the time when we hear about this, we think of a court of law. Because in a court of law, they will ask you, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. And what they're asking you to do is to swear in the name of God. By the way, that is a sanctioned use of God's name. In Deuteronomy 6:13, it says, you shall fear only the Lord your God. You shall worship him and swear by his name. You say, well, how can that be? How can you harmonize that? Why do they ask you to do that in a court of law? Because what you are doing is you are making a self-maledictory oath. You say, well, what's that? What's a self-maledictory oath? It means an oath that you call judgment on yourself if you don't tell the truth. See, that is using God's name with weight. That means something. I mean, look, if you lie to me in the name of God, that's not going to bring you a hard time. That is not a self-maledictory oath because I don't have any weight. I can't judge you over it. But once you do that in a court of law, it is self-maledictory. Once they determine, or if they determine that you're lying, you can be held responsible. There are consequences for lying in a court of justice. You know, that is an official use of God's name. It's not casual conversation. And it is a sanctified way to use God's name. But you know what God says? He says, wherever you use my name, that is an official use of my name. Oh my God, is not an official use. Ay, Dios mío, is not an official use. OMG is, that's the one, is not an official use. And it doesn't have to be in a court of law. Because when you use my name, it has to be sync with me. And the Bible says that God judged David because he says, you have caused my enemies to discredit my name. God judged the people at the Tower of the Babel because they didn't want to take God's name. They rejected God's name and said, we can come up with a name better than that. And right here, you shall not take the Lord your God. Okay? He's not talking about people in general. He's talking about people in this room. You say God is your God, then that's who he's talking about. We have in our ministry, you know, trademarked our name, Playa Christian Church. That name belongs to us. You can't use that name without prior approval. The only way that you can use it is, you know, if you've been given permission, because it's a licensed name. Now, we can license you to use that name, but you can't arbitrarily use that name. And so, in the same way, God has licensed you. He has licensed you and me to use his name. He is the Lord your God. But the licensing agreement has restrictions. You cannot use it in vain. You can use his name, but you can't waste his name. And if a person abuses the name, you know, they use our church name without our permission, we have a legal right to take an action. And so it is. God has the right to take an action because it's the misuse of his name. And every day you go to work, you hear people misusing God's name. You work around people. You live around people. You go to school with people who use God's name in vain. They may use it in connection with profanity. You know, I think the saying is, you know, profanity is the attempt of a feeble mind to express itself forcefully. I like that. And much of the language that goes with profanity is the misuse of God's name. But we have been given a trademark relationship, folks. Now, let's put it in context. Let me give you the New Testament context for this that you're more familiar with. Our Father, who art in heaven, what? Hallowed means to set apart. He has a set apart name. You can't go around calling everybody God. You can't go around calling everything God because it only refers to one person. Hallowed, set apart, never to be replicated is your name. Now, you can't control what your neighbors do. You can't control what the secular world does. You can't control what the media does. But you can control whether you take that name in vain. So then, how? How do we use his name? How should we use his name? How do we hallow his name? Or how do we not take his name in vain? How do you respect the name of God and give it the uniqueness that it deserves? Well, let me give you a few ways. The first way is, and the dominant way is, why we have been here meeting this morning, to worship that name. Worship. I love how Psalms 34 says it when it says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. You make a big deal about the name. You adore the name. You celebrate the name. Hebrews 13:15 says, give thanks to that name. And so the way that you keep from using the name of the Lord your God in vain is to give it recognition by giving it an exalted status. Brother and sister, do you give God's name exalted status in your life? Or is it just a casual name? It's just another word. Now, we are to worship that name. In fact, honestly, it affects everything. The point of sermons on Sunday is so that you can know more about God, so that you can give more worship to his name. I love the way it says in Psalm 29, 1 and 2. It says, ascribe to the Lord the glory, do his name. God says, I'm not asking for something I don't deserve. God's just asking for his props. You know, give him glory, give him recognition. Probably most of you aren't even old enough to know this. But, you know, back in the 70s, it was an expression we used to use. You know, we say, wow, that's heavy. Man, that's heavy, right? I still like that. I still think of that because it means there's weight to the words. And the more that you know about God, the heavier his name is going to be. And when you look through Scripture, you look through all, there's all these names, and got dozens and dozens of names of God, because God regularly describes himself by each new circumstance that he's put into it, and he gives himself a new name. I mean, the great thing about the Bible is that for every situation, there's a new name of God. You ask Abraham, what's the name of God? He said, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. David say, the Lord is my shepherd. And you guys know it over and over. The Lord is my banner. The Lord is the one who sees. The Lord is my righteousness. The Lord is my victory. The Lord is my healer. All of those are giving the names of God. David went before Goliath. David said to Goliath, you come to me with sword and shield, but I come to you in the name of the God of Israel. David knew God's name. He knew how to use God's name. Let me tell you something else that we can do. Not only are we to worship the name, we are to wear the name. You say, what do you mean by wear the name? You should be willing to be associated with the name. Paul says, I am not ashamed to wear that name. How hurt would you be, husbands, if your woman didn't want to, wanted to marry you, but didn't want to be known by your last name? You know, I want you, but I don't want people to call me by your name. You know, I want my own name, she says. Well, are you ashamed to be identified as a Christian? Are you ashamed to be identified? Do you apologize that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? You say, well, if it's that important, should I even be wearing his name? Well, he is your father. You ought to wear his name. And another thing, not only should you wear his name, you know, if it's not only necessary that you wear his name, then you ought to also be willing to bear his name. What do I mean? Let me read Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 tells us what this means in verse 40. It says, they took his advice, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them, and they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then released them. And so they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on preaching and teaching Jesus as the Christ. The main way that you know that you are wearing his name is because you're willing to bear the name. Because listen, you will be rejected. You will be spit upon. You will feel funny with your friends. You will be an outcast when you wear his name, which means that you will bear the association. Some people who don't want to associate, don't want to associate because of the name. Their name, they think, will give discredit to me. It will bring devalue to me. Well, let me tell you something. When you associate with God in Christ, that's going to happen to you. Now, let me tell you when it's not going to happen. It will not happen if you associate with God apart from Christ. Because if you're doing that, if you associate with the name God, most of the time that's not going to bring you a bad time. I mean, because you're parked in neutral. Everybody believes in God. But when it gets specific, I mean, the Bible says in Philippians 2, God has given Christ a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is the Lord to the glory of the Father. God has recognized the name of Jesus. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, God says that we honor God's name when we honor God's Son. And so the question is, simply, not just do you believe in God. That's certainly a starting point, don't get me wrong. But wearing the name of his Son. Do people know you as a follower of Jesus Christ or just a religious church-going God believer? Jesus makes a staggering statement in the New Testament. He says, if you deny me on the earth, I will deny you in heaven. And if you identify with me on earth, I will identify with you in heaven. And so when you pray and you ask for something, in Jesus' name, amen. But you're not willing to associate with the name of Jesus. Jesus says, I can't sign off on those prayers. Because you're not willing to wear the name or to bear the name. So don't expect the benefit from the name. no matter how you end your prayer. You have to be willing to bear the name. And finally, got to make sure that you share the name. That is your witness. You're not ashamed to share Jesus Christ. You're not afraid to let people know that there is only one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. Let me close with this. You know, back a while, they had a commercial for the Men's Warehouse, a place that I have frequently. It's over in the marina. They've moved the locations, by the way. Men's Warehouse, they used to sell the suits. They used to have a commercial where the president would come on, the president of the company. His name was George Zimmer. Maybe you remember this. He appeared on the commercial talking about the Men's Warehouse. He said, we could satisfy any business wear needs of a man. And he ended the commercial by saying, after making all these promises of, you know, the quality of the clothes, the quality of the tear, he would say, I guarantee it. I guarantee, and they would write his name, George Zimmer. And what he was saying is the reason you could say, or the reason you could trust what I say about the Men's Warehouse is my name stands beside it. I'm the owner of the company, and my reputation stands behind it, so I am personally guaranteeing the product of this service. You shall not take the Lord's God's name in vain. God is the owner. It's God's company, and God stands behind it. And if you use his name, his way is for his glory. And he will sign off on that. And he will produce in your life, brothers and sisters, the highest service. He will produce in your life the highest quality. And there will be breakthroughs in your life that will come because of the power in his name. They say, but Pastor, why is my life so out of control? And why does it have such little quality? Well, maybe it's because you're not bearing the name. Maybe you're using cheap knockoffs, cheap imitations of his name. And so the question is this morning, whose name are you wearing? Whose name are you bearing? And whose name are you sharing? We come now to a commitment course. The band is here. They're going to lead us. If you have made a decision to bear the name of Jesus Christ, we want to welcome you into that fellowship that we have here at Applied Christian Church. And if you want to make that decision, we make ourselves, Perry and I make ourselves available right here in the front, right after the congregation is dismissed. All you have to do is come to let us know. We can pray with you. We guide you, whatever it is you need. But we're here to welcome you. And God stands waiting today if you've never made that decision. For the rest of us, let's brush the dust off the name of God and re-exalt it in the place, give it the place of honor that it needs to have, and to eliminate it from all of the vacuous, banal, empty ways that we use it. Let's recommit to that name right now. Let's stand as the band is here and to lead us.